Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Here on 96.5 The Fan, one thing that's really good about able to do this show early in the morning is that you get to get out there first, and then you get to watch everybody else kind of develop the way they do it. Not necessarily the station, but like shows in general. And one of the things I saw this whole last week, and Mac and I did this topic on Monday, was the rest or rust.
Oh, God.
Oh, it was everywhere, man.
Oh, my God, was it? Jeez.
Everywhere.
Oh.
Like, we did it, and then Briscoe is here from 10 to 2, and he's like, I got to bring it up with some of the people, so I'm going to talk about it. And then I got home, and it was like, the herd, rest or rust. First things first, rest or rust. First take, rest or rust. Everywhere you listened was rest or rust. And then they brought it up with the wonderful woman Kay Adams show with Luke Kuechly.
Yeah,
and he talked about it.
I think early in my career, this would have really bothered me, just getting out of the flow and the speed and how fast stuff happens during the game. We played 2013. We had a first round bye. We were, I think, the 2 seed, and we had the first round bye, and we played San Francisco the first round in the playoffs at home at Bank of America. And I remember the first, you know, quarter of that game, I was like, wow, this is really fast. Like, things are happening quick. I had to get myself back up to game speed again. And then by the second quarter, you're locked in. But that first quarter, to have that ability not to be up to full speed, I didn't like that feeling. But as you go on, I mean, we were the number one seed in the NFC playoffs in 2015. That first game against Seattle, you know, we had 1 week off, not two or three like they have. I felt 100% fine. I had no issues. I felt good. The game speed was not an issue. So I guess what I'm getting at is, if they were a young team that hadn't spent a ton of time in the playoffs and their best players were young guys, I'd be more worried about it. But I think Mahomes and Kelce and Thuney and, you know, Chris Jones and Karloftis and, you know, Reed in the backfield with McDuffie, I just don't really see this being a huge issue for him.
It's, Bob? To me, I agree with Luke Kuechly. I mean, it's the biggest low-hanging fruit topic that we have right now in sports, because 2 weeks ago, everybody was saying, and I've gotten this question literally every day, you know, of the break. You know, it was running into people having conversations. You worried about Russ? No, I'm worried about Russ. Like, you were the same people 2 weeks ago going, we got to get this bye. We need the bye. We need the week off. We need the week off. Now they get the bye and have the week off. And if I had a dollar for every person who was like, Rust, or, you know, I'd be retired at this point in time, because it becomes this low-hanging fruit argument that's, you know, perpetrated by the national shows out there of rust versus, you know, rest and all this kind of stuff. And my comeback has been, for a lot of people over the last few weeks, is that this team doesn't play a game from basically February 10th to September 10th, and nobody worries about the rust during that period of time. But God forbid somebody takes a week off during the regular season, and all of us football savants and experts saying, oh my God, it's going to be rusty. Maybe it's rusty if you have a first year head coach. Yes, it is. It is dusty.
Rustin.
But
sorry. Because you know what's happened. Day one on the job. No, he writes for the Star.
Yeah. Big fan of the Ned. Or other way around, I guess you could say. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Big fan. I roll my eyes. Ned loved him.
Rustin, how much time do I have? It's Dustin, but yeah, you got like 5 minutes. I said, what am I doing here?
But you know, like if you, the rust maybe come into a factor, like when the Giants had the bye week and they all went to Cabo or wherever it was, and that guy who had the ill-fitting suit was their head coach, McGillicuddy,
McDoofus,
yeah.
McAdoo.
I couldn't remember the guy's name. Like, if you have a coach like that, like Dr. Magoo in there kind of running the show, which is not a leader, then maybe there is a situation with Russ. We're talking about a team that is... I just can't stop laughing about people think, oh my God, this rust thing. Have you met Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Chris Jones? Like, I mean, we're talking about stuff that may impact a neophyte team, but we're talking about the Chiefs here, folks. We're talking about rust.
I think this is why you know, people continually hate the Chiefs because of why they're good. Like we were talking on Monday, Mac and I were, that people hate the Patriots and Belichick's run because there were multiple allegations that were factual. Like they did it. Like everything that went with it, the deflation, the spy gate, the whatever gate they had. And yet every time there's a challenge for the Chiefs, they seem to take advantage of it. And this to me goes where there's no rust or where there's more importantly with rest is that you go back to like St. Joe, like, right? Like there's a reason why Andy takes these guys in the middle of Missouri. Maybe not the middle, of course. There comes the Thanks Coast.
Well, it's Bucks, actually, it's on the western north edge. If you look, there's a river. Right. And, you know.
I've been to St. Joe enough sitting in a T-shirt and shorts and sweat to know that it's painful in those practices.
Like, I would bet you've been to St. Joe more than anybody at this radio station. Well, maybe Cody and Gold.
I think Cody and Gold have been there a little bit longer, more than I've been. But they were Monday through Friday. Either way.
Every time we went up in the morning, there was a thunderstorm.
Go ahead and head back, guys. Well, the Wi-Fi is not connecting. But no, I think this is where Andy Reid is the anomaly in this, because the thing that I don't understand where people say, oh, well, there's rust and there's rust, they're still going to have practices where everybody's practicing at a full go. And not only that, but like this is where like Andy Reid really takes advantage of this time. And again, you had your bye week in week 6. You just played 3 games in 11 days. And you have a team that has leadership that's done this for the last 3 years running. Like more than that.
Yeah.
Like again, we already know they played more games. If there was worry about rust, then how did they go 15-1 after winning back-to-back titles? It's because of Andy Reid. It's because of where this team starts their season in St. Joe, having hellacious practices in the heat, getting ready for games like this in the regular season that make you go through this grind. And now it's like, okay, now we can breathe. We can do this. And again, he brings up Kelce, Mahomes, Jones, all these guys, Hopkins even, who's a veteran. And you look at what they're trying to do, and I would agree to a point that if this was if this was like Buffalo and they got 3 weeks off, Buffalo's never had that sort of situation. And normally the Chiefs don't. Last year, the Chiefs said it would go all the way through the playoffs and get to the Super Bowl and win. But like they've had every sort of factor that there has to get to the Super Bowl. And this year, the most important thing they could have got was rest so that they aren't rusty going into the playoffs. And I think Andy Reid, it's Dustin. And I don't think that they want to necessarily like believe in that, because I don't think they have to, but I think the best thing about this team going into this playoff stretch is the fact they do get the time off that will definitely not create any rust. If anything, it's going to create the juices to flow better, because guys like Travis Kelce, who's last game in the regular season, 8 for 84 and a touchdown, how you doing, right? He's back again. And Mahomes,
well, it's that time of year, right?
Right. And that's where this team thrives, and that's where this team needs it, because they are the veteran team. They have done this before. In fact, they're on the brinks of going for 3 straight in a row, and they've won 2 in a row, and they have Andy Reid, who's never going to let this team drift off and get confused or think about something differently. And plus, all these teams that are getting ready to play you will have to play every game going in. They get this, the teams that are clinching, they get this week. And then it's right back to it. So they don't get that time to kind of like transition in the playoffs. Whereas the Chiefs, now Andy Reid can be like, okay, I have my offense this last 3 weeks. Let's put this together. Let's solidify it. And let's move forward.
Yeah. People just don't realize how, also too, from a mental health standpoint, how important having the time away is. I mean, everybody can utilize that, you know, in their work life. You take a couple of weeks off and you get recharged and you get rejuvenated and you get refreshed. I can't imagine playing 16 NFL games, which is what they're going to do. And some are obviously going to play the 17th NFL game. And every play they will tell you who's ever played the game is like a car crash. Every single play is like a car crash. So to sit there and say, well, I'm worried about rust, I'm more worried about the guys being fresh and mentally fresh and physically fresh, you know, for the start of the postseason, as opposed to having to play another game. Like the Chiefs, by winning that game on Christmas Day, basically saved 8 quarters of wear and tear on Patrick Mahomes, on Travis Kelce, on Chris Jones, on Trent McDuffie. You saved 8 quarters of game preparation. Like, you've taken so much away from them mentally and physically by having this opportunity of going out there and not having to play in this game, or having that week off and having the opportunity to go out there and just get ready. This is a veteran team. And the other thing is, like, people talk about rust all the time. They're allowed, what, 17 practices over the course of the entire season anyway in the NFL? So how much practice time are you really getting in, you know, at this point of the season? To me, where we are right now, it is more important to have that rest, to have your feet up, to have the ability to sit back and relax a little bit and taking all the hard work that you did. And the other thing that the Chiefs have done with this 15-1 record, okay, Rusty, is the fact that they went out there and they didn't play a last place schedule. They did it against a first place schedule. They did it against a division that, for all intents and purposes, could have three of the four teams in the playoffs, which is kind of why I want to see Denver, and so we have that as well. Mm-hmm. Oh, we played two playoff teams four times in the division. You had every playoff team in the AFC you beat, with the exception of Buffalo, and that'll happen in January when it always does. But, I mean, this team has played a first-place schedule against quality opponents, and they went 15-1. There's no reason to be concerned whatsoever that rust is going to slow them down or there's going to be rust at all. Luke Kuechly nailed it. You got veteran leaders on this team.
Yeah, you got guys that know what the end goal is, and that's to win three straight. And that's never been done before. And now you have 3 weeks off to go win your third straight
Super Bowl. You got three more games on the schedule that matter. Go win them all. And take care of business.
And then what's going to happen when they play the first divisional game? They win, 28-10? All of a sudden it's like, yeah, there was no rust. Could have told you that.
The first playoff game. they house somebody.
That's right.
Oh, I thought there would be rust. You did?
Well, there is no rust on the other side because we are ready and rested for Ben Maller coming up on the other side. Ben Maller will join us. He'll join Mac, Robert, and Rusty on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
We'll be joined by Ben Maller in just a second, brought to you by The Landing at Liberty. You were just there.
I was up at The Landing the other day. I did. I had the pretzel and had some of the Ben Maller chicken fingers as well. Went up there.
The grilled ones or the black and grilled? No.
We actually got the fried ones this time.
Yeah, okay. It's the holidays.
Yeah.
You'll get back to it.
Yeah. Maybe.
Come back here, look like the South Park characters when they play World of Warcraft. Yeah. Bob, could you go ahead and add a shift alt delete to the rundown? I'll have it over there in a second. And Matt, can you use more Hot Pockets? Last time you had a Hot Pocket.
Oh, God.
Smash your pass.
Oh, pass.
I just never was able to get them done all the way.
No, they're not. They're frozen in the middle. It's the Jim Gaffigan routine. You bite into this thing, it's like rancid meat frozen in the middle.
But I would be willing to try one in an air fryer.
Ooh.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You know?
All right, Miles, you know, you're listening this morning. Is the Hot Pocket and the air fryer good, buddy?
Yeah, it's the old Bosco stick, now the pizza Hot Pocket.
What about the Lean Pocket? Did you ever Lean Pocket back in the day?
Not for me. Look at me, dude.
Oh, this has got broccoli and turkey in it instead of cheese and ham. This is lean.
Nothing about me says lean. Like, there's not one, like, thing about me that says lean.
Hot pockets were like meatballs and cheese and sauce.
I did like the chicken broccoli and cheese one.
Yeah, that's a nice one. Wasn't that a lean pocket though?
Is that what that
sounds
was?
Lean?
It's chicken and broccoli
and cheese.
And cheese.
Yeah, that's
and
really
cheese.
Lean.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I mean,
it's less sodium intake than Guy Fieri's loaded tot chili dog.
Oh my goodness!
1800.
Right?
Yeah.
How much sodium is in one hot pocket?
We can find out.
Hot Pocket.
But it is that time again. Once again, we are joined by Ben Maller, which is brought to you by The Landing. And Ben, here we go.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. You can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan. And Ben, after a 2-week hiatus, we're all back and ready to get going for the final weekend of the NFL season. Not a lot on the line for the final weekend of the NFL season, but I think going into this final week, there's a lot to prove, obviously, in that Lions-Minnesota game, which I think everybody's looking forward to. It's really the only game that has a huge, huge, huge postseason implication on it.
Well, that's the big granddaddy of them all. By the way, it's good to be on with you guys again, and I'll be the 23rd person to wish you a happy New Year and all that. But we're back on the bandwagon and all that. The Vikings against the Lions is the game, right? Because the punishment if you lose that game is you're ending up as the number 5 seed from the number 1 seed. You go from having a bye week to having to play and having to play on the road and all that. So it's a massive swing. Whoever wins that game, and two quarterbacks you don't really trust. I don't trust Sam Darnold, even though the guy's played great this year. And Jared Goff, I still have PTSD from his days with the Rams. And then the other thing, too, you look at this weekend, you've got the choke factor with the Broncos, who've lost the last couple games playing the Chiefs and a bunch of backups for Andy Reid. And if the Broncos lose that game and the Bengals win and some other things happen, the Dolphins, if they lose, then the Broncos are out, and the team like the Bengals could get in the playoffs. So that's also bizarre. And then there's a lot of players. I've been trying to get ready for the TV show, And I'm trying to figure out who's playing. And there are guys that are going to be starting this weekend. I have no idea who they are. I've been trying to, like, Google them. Like, I didn't even know this guy was in the NFL. And he's starting this weekend. And so it's very interesting. It's the most interesting time of the year to watch NFL games.
Well, it is. And the AFC race, obviously, you know, the Chiefs can impact that a little bit, you know, with the game against the Denver Broncos. But you're right. They've fallen apart. Like, Denver's had an opportunity to win this thing and put this thing away, and they've not been able to do that. Now they get the backup Chiefs going into Denver. It sure seems like a game Denver should win and get into the playoffs with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, but you look at the Broncos the last couple of weeks and you're like, well, the way they had played, you thought they had three games to win one and wrap up the playoff spot. And now they're down to one game to wrap up the playoff spot. So this is a major choke job by the Broncos. But when I was with you guys and I visited the Arrowhead and I saw the Broncos against the Chiefs, I was very impressed. I thought the Broncos played a great game, and that was that crazy ending there where the blocked kick at the end and the Chiefs won the game. And I was like, well, the Broncos are on their way here. The defense had figured some things out, and they had their young quarterback, and they've just been off a little bit the last couple of weeks. And I much like when I watch a major in golf, I'm the Schadenfreude guy that I'm watching for the choke. Part of me does want to see the Broncos go out there and just stink it up and blow a playoff spot, losing to Carson Wentz. I want to see that. That's a great story.
I think I have a way to figure out this final week of the season, because in 2 years we're going to play another game after this game because we're going to go to like 19 weeks. But the NFL should reseed in the playoffs. There's no way that you would bench every, like Tennessee and Houston, right? They play this week. Tennessee's the favorite. They're a 1-point favorite because Houston's not playing anybody. But Houston is 9-7, probably going to finish 9-8, unless they win, which whatever. But they'll have a worse record than both wildcard teams. But yet, Houston could then mess everything up, because let's say that the Chargers upset Baltimore. That's not that big of a story, right? That's not that big of an outlandish take. Then Buffalo gets to play the 5-4 game, but yet the Chiefs would have to play a 7th seed, and the Chargers, who would be 11-6. It's like, it doesn't make sense. And I think if you want to make things more juicy outside of having one decent game in the final week of the NFL season, which you mentioned, which is Minnesota-Detroit, reseeding happen, and then these teams actually do have to play for something.
Well, a couple things, Dusty. A, you make sense. B, I don't foresee that happening because of the oligarchs in the NFL. They love what they have. They don't want to mess with it. They have the recipe of the 11 herbs and spices, and they don't want to futz around with it in any way. You try to get the NFL to do anything different, major. I'm talking like major. That would be major in their eyes, and they want no part of it. And the thing about divisions and how much value they put on divisions. We've talked about this over the last couple of years randomly. It's like they do not want to touch that. They set up the divisions originally because of travel and how bad the travel was, and teams had to be together and they wanted the value in the divisions. But that's like a 50 or 60 year old take that they will not change. That they're not traveling commercial flights anymore. You know, but yet they want to maintain the integrity of the divisions, which trickle down, as you pointed out, means that you're going to have a team like the Texans or Buffalo that could be set up really, really in good shape here. But I would be stunned if they change that. And the only way they would is if TV says this is what we want, then they would do it, because TV is the sugar daddy and they're the ones that control everything.
Yeah, no question. I mean, as we've seen in the NFL, if TV wants it done, obviously TV will get it done. And until TV says we need to have a change, well, you know, we're not going to have a change. And I think that's why we ultimately got that change in college football, where we are right now. You know, in the college football playoff, we have Notre Dame and Georgia, you know, maybe this afternoon, depending on, you know, what's going on down in New Orleans. But TV said, hey, we got an opportunity here to have a 12-team playoff. Let's go ahead and do it. And we see them go out there and do it right now. Now, the games haven't been great except the Texas game yesterday. But still, it's been a great TV product that me, as the casual college football fan, I'm tuning in for, because these games matter.
Yeah, I'm also a casual college football fan. Like, I'll watch it on a Saturday, but I don't plan my whole day around it. Like, I'll watch it on my phone if I'm out and about. But I have watched parts of these games, but the only one I watched more than a little bit of was the Arizona State Texas game. But even that, Texas had a 16-point lead in the fourth quarter. You thought, well, they're going to win this game. And then the craziness happened with the Sun Devils coming back and the 2-point conversions and all that. But yeah, like I always loved the Rose Bowl. That's been a big thing. So I turn on the Rose Bowl, and by the time I turned it on, the game was already lopsided. And then I watched till halftime. And it was 34-0 or whatever it was at one point. So yeah, that was our watch. But yeah, from a TV standpoint, you've got a lot of big names. You had matchups also with underdogs, and you could sell that. And so it's good programming, especially this time of the year. Although this thing's going to go on for another couple of weeks, so we're not even close to the end of the college football playoff. We got two more weeks of this to go.
Yeah, it seems like it's a little bit drawn out. And I know we talked about NFL seeding, and we talked about, you know, the college, you know, whatever, and you say TV is king. Obviously, college got exactly what it wanted. I think that's exactly what we could all say. We want a 12-team playoff. Nobody can complain or bitch about that. Everyone knows, like, that's what they wanted. The only problem is, and this is what I was thinking about this weekend as I was watching some of these games from the week before and then this week, whereas we gave someone all the ingredients to go cook the perfect, easiest omelet, and somehow they were still able to screw it up. I think that the at-large, everyone said to me that Ashton Gentry was ungodly, was going to be the best running back we've seen in college football, yet he was doing things that people at Wisconsin had done two or three times, you know, in seasons before. Plays a team like Penn State, who apparently can't beat big teams, now is 2-0 in college. I think the whole thing with the college football playoff is we have what we want. We have what we need. The thing is, we've forgot to add one of the major ingredients, which is not every at-large bid or bye weeks need to come from conference champions. Arizona State came back and made that game interesting. At least that was nice. But everything else outside of that has not fit the plan. I'm okay with the teams. I think the seeding will be changed.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be changed that much. I mean, they'll just say, hey, it's a small sample size and it didn't work out this year, but we want to be fair. We want, you know, we have 12 slots here, so we want to let teams like Boise State have an opportunity. So I don't think they're going to change it right away. I mean, I don't know what the ratings are for these games. I don't know if they've had a huge audience or not. But it's just these games have been, as we pointed out, they have not been competitive and all that. And you can't, even if you put, like, Alabama lost to Michigan, right? There were people who said Alabama should have been in. They lost to Michigan, not a very good Michigan team. Like, you can set the matchup up, but you can't guarantee you're going to get a good game, right? You can lead a horse to water and that whole thing. You're not guaranteed what you're going to get once the matchup is set. But they will eventually tweak it, but it really just depends on if the audience is there. If the audience is there, then they're not going to make many changes. They'll make some cosmetic changes, but other than that, I think we're going to get this for the foreseeable future. In fact, they'll probably eventually add more teams if they want, you know, more extra games over the holidays. They'll add another layer to the playoff. There'll be 16 teams in the playoff.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where it's going to head. I mean, you know, you get more of these meaningful games because I haven't watched any of these other bowl games really, other than the Alabama game the other day. I've just been watching the college football playoff game because they're really the only ones that mean something.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. We used to make the same joke about like the Weed Eater Bowl or whatever, you know, some craziness. Like I watched some highlights online maybe of the Pop-Tart Bowl or whatever, just to check out the funny videos. But as far as the actual locking in and planning some time to watch the games, like I watched Penn State and Boise, as Dusty mentioned. I was watching that game the other night. That was on and wasn't a very good game, but I spent a good amount of time watching it. There wasn't much else to watch other than some NBA games, so that got my focus there. But it's just, you know, it's a weird time of the year, right? This, we see it in football. Teams don't show up in the NFL rather than college. You don't know what you're going to get on a week-to-week basis this time over the holidays. Some teams are able to play, and there's huge talent gaps also, even though these teams are all playoff teams. Between a team like Penn State and Boise State, obviously there's a big difference there.
Yeah, I mean, I go back, and we can move on from college, but I go back to your Alabama-Michigan stuff, and it's like, you look at that game, though, like, that game essentially didn't matter for Alabama, so a lot of their players just didn't play, so that's where you lose that sort of thing, that sort of pizzazz. But I don't know. I think college football has exactly what it needs. I think it's a very sellable product. Like, people make fun of the Pop-Tart Bowl, but that's one of the most, like, paid bowls there is. It's like an actual huge bowl when it comes to money. But I do think we will see teams expand in this process, and there'll be more to be played for. There'll be a little bit more of pizzazz. But, again, you look at this game today, Georgia and Notre Dame, I think if anything, if anybody's rooting for college football's, you know, progress, Notre Dame's the team that you would want to see win today. If, again, that game is to be played at 3 o'clock today, Central Time, like, that's who everybody would be rooting for? Or is this like a lose-lose? Because if Georgia wins, SEC, Notre Dame wins, everybody hates Notre Dame except people from Indiana. But I don't know. That's the way I look at this game today.
Well, I don't think everyone hates, and Notre Dame's like, they're bigger than college football, right? That's mm-hmm. touchdown Jesus and all that. I mean, I spent time in Boston. That's like, yeah, Boston College is big, but Notre Dame's big. New York, like that, Notre Dame college football is more popular in New York than any of the teams in that area. So, but they are both loved and hated at the same time for obvious reasons, but they're the royalty of college football.
Yeah, they remind me of the Cowboys of collegiate football.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's about right. I mean, they have their own deal with NBC, which was, I know it seems like everyone's got their own TV deal now, but Notre Dame was ahead of that. And my entire life, it's been, you know, Notre Dame. And even when they're bad, it's all about Notre Dame. So they move the needle, right? They're the ones, they are like the Dallas Cowboys of college football. They're always going to get a huge rating. They have a built-in audience. People will raise to love Notre Dame. Even if you don't believe in some of the stuff, you got to buy into the football program.
No doubt. All right, Ben, before we let you go, you got that final opportunity to make the prediction. Who wins that Minnesota game and who gets that final spot in the AFC?
Yeah, so I'm betting against the Lions defense, which I don't believe will be able to stop the Vikings. Even with Sam Darnold having some, so I'm taking the Minnesota Vikings, the road in the NFC, the road to New Orleans, at least in the NFC half of the bracket, will go with the Purple People Eaters. The Vikings will win that game.
And who gets the AFC final spot?
That, well, I hate to say it because I hope the Broncos lose, but I believe the Broncos will end up winning. They will not cover the spread, but they will win the game, so they'll get that final spot. I would love to see the Bengals get in to shake things up, but I don't foresee that happening.
Ben, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's Ben Maller, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. Of course, you can check him out overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan. And he says, you know, he's looking forward to the Purple People Eaters taking on the Detroit Lions in the NFC Championship game, if you will, NFC North Championship game on Sunday night. And then, of course, the Chiefs have a kind of a little bit of a say in what could potentially happen in the postseason. But Denver's got to go out there and take care of business themselves and see if they can get a win and get into the playoffs and then end all this conversation about Joe Burrow being the MVP. If he makes the playoffs, how many people will now vote for Joe Burrow for MVP?
I think it's going to be a decent amount. I really do.
I mean, he would do exactly what an MVP should do, but the only knock that he'll have is that the other guys that are up for the award, which is, what, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen mm-hmm. and Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I guess
they all won their division. Sam Darnold could have an argument for MVP for him.
He should be.
Oh, God, you can make an argument for Sam Darnold. You can make an argument for Goff. You can make an argument for Mahomes. I don't care if nobody wants to hear that one. You can make an argument for Josh Allen. You can make an argument for Saquon Barkley because, I mean, look, Philadelphia was left for dead. Mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley gave life to that team. I mean, he's played great this year, obviously. You can make a case for Josh Allen to be the MVP, small one. You can make a case for Lamar Jackson to be the MVP. We're praising Josh Allen for doing what is an average season for quarterbacks now in the NFL. There was a stat that was floating around yesterday. Like 17 of his touchdowns are from 3 yards or less.
We did that to Mahomes too.
That
was a stat that everybody's like, well, I forget who it was that ran with that, but they're like, Mahomes is like 15 touchdowns are from 5 yards or less. It's like, they're still touchdowns.
Like, no, I know. And I'm not a huge, like, oh my God, look at this number. And this is why he shouldn't be MVP. I look at the results and right now, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes,
Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, Saquon Barkley can all be in that conversation, you know, for the MVP. And look, I'm biased, obviously. I still think it should be Patrick Mahomes. They're 15-1, and they won games without an offensive line for the majority of the year. They never had weapons that, you know, at their full disposal the entire season. They're beating every playoff team in the AFC this year, with the exception of Buffalo. Again, they're 15-1. They won their division on Christmas Day. How do you vote against Patrick Mahomes for being the MVP of this football team? It's crazy. But again, I'm biased and I know that, and that's fine. But Joe Burrow, if they don't make the playoffs and people are voting that guy for MVP, you got a screw loose.
I don't think he's going to win the MVP. I think he's going to win comeback player of the year for some egregious reason. I mean, he's going to win.
How does Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold.
Exactly.
Because he wasn't injured.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily what the comeback player
that's
is.
That's what it is now.
You know,
like, right? Like, that's now where we're at. Like, I don't know. I think Alex Smith might have broken that award.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he snapped his knee, came back, and like, that's well-deserving, but it was from an injury. And then now it's like, well, Joe Burrow, you know, he missed 7 games due to a wrist injury. It's like, but he didn't really, he wasn't gone. Like, DeMar Hamlin, it made sense, right? Like, we saw the, you know, the catastrophic episode that happened, then he came back and actually played an NFL season.
Right.
Deserving, even if he only played 4 snaps, you can have your argument, whatever. He still played in the NFL, still practiced, did all those things.
He's pretty much played all year this year, though.
He's actually been really good this year.
Yeah, he's had a nice year.
Yeah. So, speaking of not a nice year, the Colts. I don't know if you saw what McAfee had to say. It's a long tweet now since, what, been deleted, right?
Actually, I thought he deleted. He did not delete.
Okay,
he stood on business.
He let it hang. Good for him.
Good. Yeah, I would say I wouldn't think he's a guy that would delete tweets, but it's funny that you bring that up, because now this morning there are rumors out there that the Colts may now shake up their front office. I mean, you want to talk about the power that Pat McAfee may be wielding over there in Indianapolis.
And you also have to never discredit Jim Irsay, because he's not afraid to get to business. But he, at the end of his tweet, he says, "I don't speak for the city, and I don't speak for all ex-Colts players, because I was only a punter, nominated for the Hall of Fame 3 times. But now, nonetheless, I speak from my own perspective. I've never seen a group waste opportunities, talent, and money more than this group. Cheers. Hashtag for the shoe." I don't know, like, what, the 2-14 season was the last time that maybe you, as a Chiefs goer, you were like, this is embarrassing. I hope they figure it out. And what they do after that.
They hired Andy Reid, and figured it out,
I mean, look, I don't know what the Colts necessarily need to do. I mean, they have Jonathan Taylor, who's, you know, eventually going to start trending downward for a running back in the NFL, who looks great once the playoffs get close for fantasy football. Michael Pittman Jr., they gave a big contract to. They drafted Anthony Richardson with, what, the 2nd overall pick. And now it's like, what do you have to show for? Like, it's like the Colts in the South. Like, that's a division that could be won every single year because of how weak that division really is.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a guy coming from the organization with his platform, like Max said, standing on business and being like, this is an embarrassment. This is, I'm willing to give up my season tickets type of talk. I mean, the joy of not having to worry about that sort of fumble of a franchise anymore. But I understand where he's coming from, because it's like, you've done all this stuff, but like, your general manager's not setting you up for success. Your head coach, do we think he's going to get fired?
I don't think so. I don't think he should. I don't know.
I mean, they were, what, in the playoffs?
Is this because they lost to the Giants, like everybody's losing their mind?
I think that is.
So you're allowing one game, which was a bad game for the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, you know, but you're allowing that one game to have an impact on what you're looking at from a 3,000-foot view or 36,000-foot view, whatever they want to call it, right? Mm-hmm. Was everybody in Colts country or wherever they call it thinking this before that game for the Giants? Because that game for the Giants, yes, bad football game all the way around for Indianapolis.
Not Drew Locke.
But no, Drew Locke played great that
That's
day.
The future of the Giants.
No,
right
it's not.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, like they played poor in that game, obviously.
Yes.
Their quarterback did not play. The same quarterback who quit on their team in the middle of the season this year because he was tired. And then, you know, they go back to Joe Flacco. So did they have this take before, or did this Giants game like wake everybody up? Because you should never let one game truly determine what you're going to do. It should be a body of work. And I know, look, Chris Ballard's a Kansas City guy from the Chiefs, and his kid went to KU, so he's got some local ties. But what the hell has he done with Indianapolis to continue to get opportunity after opportunity after opportunity? It may be time to make a change at the general manager spot. But in the NFL, if you don't have the right coach and you don't have the right quarterback, you just don't stand a chance to win in this league now, more so than ever. And I was kind of thinking about that. Like, when did we get to this point where if you didn't have the quarterback and coach, you didn't stand a chance? I think it was Brady and Belichick that kind of brought that to light. And then it started to become that coach quarterback combination. If you don't have a good coach quarterback combination, the rest of the team really just doesn't matter right now. And I don't know that Indianapolis has a good head football coach.
I mean, I think he's good. I think if he was to get fired, he'd be hired in like, what, a day? Like somebody would go get him immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he made Gardner Minshew look pretty good for a whole season last year, and we saw that worked out in Vegas. So I don't know. But Pat McAfee, I mean, at the beginning of this tweet, he kind of says, in the end, everything went just like I effing said it would. So he's been saying this from the get-go. He's pretty much saying, I knew this was going to go bad. I told you guys this organization is toxic from the inside out. So he's saying there are some serious, you know, bad things going on inside.
So if that's the case and it's toxic from the inside out, then you have to fire the coach and you have to fire the general manager. That's how you cure the toxicity. How toxic was it here in 2012 when the Chiefs had Todd Haley and Scott Pioli and that mess that was going on? The way you cured all of that was to remove those folks from that situation. You have to have a full cleansing. A lot of organizations aren't willing to do that. They're not willing to pay the freight, the money to buy people out of contract, to hire new people in. But if you've got a toxic organization inside, those people inside the organization need to be taken out of that organization.
If it looks bad and it smells bad, it's probably bad.
Yes.
I don't need to open the milk lid to see that it's curdled and past its date. And I don't need to go any further than that. Speaking of that, we'll bring up Smash or Pass on the other side. And then the 8 o'clock hour, we're getting into the college football weekend that had all of us, well, maybe a little disappointed. It's okay to admit that. It's fine. And we have other ways to fix it, I believe. Mac Morey's going to go nuts at 8 o'clock. We're all going to go nuts on Smash or Pass because there's a winter storm coming. So it's themed around the grocery store here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Looks like a lot of you still have the day off.
Oh, God, yes.
But we're back.
Is that one car on the road? Be careful. There could be a car.
I did already see one truck with a plow on it.
Oh, they're getting ready.
Oh, yeah. Salt them roads, baby. Yep. You know what I mean?
Salt them buka, salt them roads. Let's go.
Salt the rim of my margarita glass. Kind of like sugar. But I'm a...
What about tajin?
I'm okay with it if it's like a jalapeno cilantro margarita or martini or however you want to drink those. Like, I like the tajin.
Tajin. Tajin's good, yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. But then I'm just like, I look like I'm like, you know, ate up on something because I'm like licking my glass. I look like, you know.
See, I've never been a real salt margarita guy at all. So tajin every once in a while, like I made, I think it was a jalapeno margarita or something. They like put tajin on the rim. I'm like, all right, I'll try that.
Yeah, pretty good. So are you smashing or passing on tajin?
I'll smash tajin, yeah.
Smash.
Yeah, okay. I think I'd smash that. Yeah, I have no
frozen
problem
frozen or on the rocks?
Oh, it's on the rocks.
See, I love frozen.
See, I'm a margarita slob.
Slob? Yeah. Well, you haven't on vacation. So you got half your beard growing in. Like, what else?
I haven't shaved since the Monday before Christmas.
Really? That's all that's come through?
Yeah, I know. See, that's the thing. Oh, yeah, like, okay. Yeah, like the 23rd probably is when I shaved.
And it's only that far?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
More than I have.
I mean, like, I'm with Mac. Like, I can barely grow
I thought
anything.
You were bringing in the playoff beard.
Oh, no. I'm just bringing it like it's too lazy. I'm like,
so you can only you only grow stuff that like makes you look like you're on a list?
Yeah.
Mac.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's definitely rough. Him. Yeah.
But, it's rough.
This is almost 2 weeks of growth.
You should grow your facial hair out. And then when your fiance moves back in town, she sees you and you're like, this is Kansas City,
this
babe.
Is it, man. Yeah, this is how it works, right?
So, yeah. Like, cool. I'm moving back.
When's she moving in?
First week of February.
Oh, okay. That's perfect timing. Yes. You're going to be in New Orleans.
I'm going to be gone. Yeah. No. All right. So I was like, sorry.
Tough.
I'm out.
I'll be at the Super Bowl.
See you later.
We'll see you next time.
Exactly.
So anyway, you have 2 weeks of growth. Yeah. But no, I was like when I moved to South Texas right after college and had like the experience down there of drinking margaritas, like no mix, no sweet and sour. It's all got to be natural for me. Fresh. Or otherwise I'm just like, nah, I'm out on that. So the margarita thing for me, it's always on the rocks. Always.
I'm just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just weak because I like a mango frozen margarita. Like I'm
there's good. Nothing wrong with that.
No, I just great. Love them.
Yeah, I just feel like it just, I don't know, like it takes too long to drink it maybe if it's frozen. It gives me a headache.
Brain freeze.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. I like to sip on it, so.
So from sources across the web, sources, We are expected to have a winter storm that starts, from what I keep seeing, which I'm sure will change. Just like that Pittsburgh-Kansas City game, it was supposed to have ice.
Remember that? Oh, I mean, yeah. What a scam that turned out to be.
Oh, I covered that game, and I was like, it's not doing anything. It's just dense fog.
Who's more accurate? That guy Vinny on Saturday morning telling you call his 800 number for bets, or the weather people when it comes to snow?
The weather, because the guy never gives you a bet.
He never does. Call now!
Yeah, I got to call 1-1-4-5-4-4 bets for free.
I've never seen anything like that. You listen to that entire hour, and he never once gives a pick. His name is Vinny on one day, you know, Jimmy the next day. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Call my number now. Call for a recorded hotline. Call me now. I'll tell you who the pick of the week really is. Who's calling these numbers?
Right. I don't know. Nobody. Because I used to do, Mac did it, the fantasy football show. And right before the fantasy football show started, it was that show. I'd sit there and be like, okay, what's his bet? What's his bet? I'd be like, okay. And, you know, he'd give you a couple of lines. Like, Denver's getting 10.5 in this game against the Chiefs. I'll tell you what my biggest bet is. Coming up on the other side, 844-45-55 Jersey bets.
Right. And like nothing.
And they'd be like, all right. Yeah.
So we used to have to interview those guys back in the day. Like, that used to be like a sold bit on the show.
No, I remember.
And
that.
Like, every other week, the guy would like kind of be the same, but his name, they wouldn't pay. Like, 1 week it was I'm not kidding. Like, one week it was Vinny. And then the next week, well, we got Bob in this week. And then, I mean, it was bizarre. And finally, like they just ended after a month.
Yeah,
like,
we're done with
this here. So that's why I ask, who is more accurate, those guys or the weather people? Because I've seen anything from 3 to 6 inches of snow to 12 to 16 inches of snow. Yeah. It's a vast difference.
From the 913, getting the snowplow ready for this weekend. If the storm holds like they are predicting, snow fighting techniques are not going to be super effective because it will be too cold for the salt and melt without additives. And it won't melt since temps will be cold enough next Wednesday.
Oh, God.
That's the tough part, is that it's going to get down to like 7.
Yeah.
Like, that's when I hate it. Like, today I was getting gas for him to work, and I was like, oh, it's 31 degrees outside. Feels fine. Like, it doesn't feel great, but it's like when that wind chill starts to drop, and you're like, damn, I'd do anything for 32 degrees and no, like, negative wind chill.
Yeah.
But it always brings up the question, because everybody goes, oh, yeah, you got to go to the store and get whatever.
Wednesday, a high of 14, a low of 0.
That's great. And what time do we do the show?
That's right. So Thursday, a low of -1. Like, we're single digits beginning on Monday.
That's
so
right.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, all single digits for the low.
That's like punch you in the face cold.
Yeah, that's like when you go out and you lose your breath. You're like,
so you're a family man. You've got 2 kids and a wife. You're at home right now. Like, you've got a little bit of help, and then I'm at home, obviously, as well. Like, what are, like, the smash meals that you make during this time?
Whatever's in the fridge at this point.
So you don't even go to the store. You won't even attempt it.
No, because I need stuff, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, you go to the store at this time, then you're caught up in the masses with everybody trying to get their French toast, you know, purchased.
Well, I think the best day to go would be, like, Friday after our show.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Friday after the show, you slip into Hy-Vee, and you're like, okay, before the crazies get out,
right,
I'm going to be crazy.
That's
right. And I'm going to go do this. But, like,
I saw Nick Bender at Channel 9 tweet yesterday. Yeah. He goes, I'm going to the store on Friday because I need these items. He says, but also there may be some snow as well. But I'm not going because I'm just making French toast because the snow is coming. I actually need these items. So if you need the stuff and you're there, you're kind of like, oh, man, the snow's coming. But I need to eat still. I'm not here because of the snow.
Is that a bit we do tomorrow, is the over-under on snow?
Oh, yeah.
Because, right, text line's so great. I love how they say, or that's a different text, but it says, Apple weather is currently calling for 19 inches of snow Sunday. My wife is a weather nut from the 816, and right now predicting 8 to 12 inches of snow on Sunday. And then the next text says, yeah, we'll get anywhere from 2 to 23 inches of snow.
I'm looking right now on the weather app on the iPhone, which I think is weather.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, snow, precipitation total. Snow, 17 to 21 inches. Now, that's a storm, ladies and gentlemen, right? Like, that is a freaking storm.
And we got to be here Monday for the show.
That's right.
Okay.
The snow is supposed to end on Sunday at some point, so which should be fine. Get out and plow the main streets. You may not be able to get out of your neighborhoods for weeks on end. Now you go to AccuWeather, and you see, okay, the snow and ice outlook for Saturday from 2 to 5, little to no accumulation. Okay, that's good. Let's see what it says for, Saturday night into Sunday. Sunday 8 a.m. to Monday 1 a.m. AccuWeather, remember, 17 to 21 on weather.com. Mm-hmm. AccuWeather says 4 to 8.
Okay.
Yeah, so, no idea.
It's called AccuWeather.
So which one are you going with, AccuWeather or weather.com?
What's more of a smash, though, during these times, breakfast or like your lunch into dinner? Because I feel like a lot of people, I feel like the chili aisle in Hy-Vee will look like like a pandemic.
Yeah,
like,
it'll
just be like, well, you got two choices of beans. You got kidney or you got black beans. Like the chili beans are gone.
Especially it's the last weekend of the NFL season as well. Mm-hmm. So this is supposed to start on Saturday at some point. You got two NFL games on Saturday. So you're probably going to start the hunker down about 5 o'clock on Saturday, right? And then that's going to carry you all the way in through Sunday. This is the last thing I need anyway, after 2 weeks of just eating. It's more days to just sit around and do nothing, but I don't know, eat all the time. So I think this is one of those things, Dusty, that starts on Saturday night and ends on Monday morning when you wake up. It's just going to be like another holiday type of weekend. I think for most people, based on the, you know, the traffic and the people that aren't out today, people are still carrying that. They're going to use this as that last holiday weekend. I think there's going to be a lot of drunk people. What else are you going to do? We're getting snowed in on Saturday, basically midday, and we're not going to see the light of day till Tuesday. People are going to get hammered.
Somebody makes a good point that they don't have to worry about gaining any weight. They just won't go to the store and get any food. They'll just starve. Yeah. What'd you do during the snowstorm? Didn't eat.
Didn't eat. I had enough built up from 2 weeks prior.
Right. I mean, yeah, I don't know, man. I think, yeah, give me breakfast, man, during that. Because, like, what is it, eggs, milk, and bread?
That's what everybody goes and buys their French toast items.
Yeah. And you don't have to go anywhere. You can't get out of your house. You just, you know.
It's actually the perfect day for this. And I know, look, people have things planned and whatnot.
Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah. Like, it doesn't ruin the week. It doesn't ruin people having to get to where they're going, your routine and all that kind of stuff. Maybe you can't go out to dinner on Sunday or whatever the case may be, or Saturday. But it's not really having that big of an impact if this thing were to come, like, I don't know, midday on Monday and last all the way till, you know, Wednesday. They have schools for the entire week. So be grateful that it's on the weekend. We can get the stuff cleaned up and the kids can get their ass back to school.
And you get two NFL games on that Saturday and you get a pretty solid slate of college basketball because that season officially has started. For me, at least. Like, now that January's here.
Yeah.
Like, you have a
conference season to start.
Yeah, you get a ton of good matchups. Like, Florida, Kentucky play at 10 on Saturday.
10 a.m.
Ooh, 10 a.m. That's a great time.
Yeah, it's a great time. Hell yeah, it is.
Right? And then you get Arkansas, Tennessee at noon.
How about college basketball? Shoot, the NFL's got two games on Saturday. Right. 10 a.m. tips.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Smart.
Yeah.
And then at 1 o'clock, you get Baylor at Iowa State. That's 25 versus 3. And then 5 o'clock, Oklahoma, Alabama. That's a 12 versus 5. Solid day.
You know, in a 12 and a 5 matchup, that 12 usually wins.
You know what I mean? In the tournament, but not in the regular season.
Oh.
Maybe this is now when I make French toast. Somebody says, say goodbye to toilet paper at the store as well.
Oh, yeah.
Do people do a lot of crapping during, like, storms?
People think they're going to be snowed in. Like, when was the last time you couldn't go anywhere for days on end?
I know. It was 2000 and I believe it was 2011 or 12 in Warrensburg, and we got, I think, 20 inches of snow. It was the only time ever I opened my door, and it was, like, stacked halfway up my door.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, they got this one right. There was 22 inches of snow on the ground.
That's a lot.
Most I've ever seen in
my life.
That
must have been that same kind of day where it hit, like, midday or mid-morning on Monday, and everybody was out.
This one hit, like, Tuesday afternoon into Tuesday night, and by the time we left the bar on Tuesday night, the snow was to our knees.
Yeah.
And I was like, told you we weren't having school tomorrow.
No school tomorrow.
And my buddy goes, I don't care if we were or not. I wasn't going. It's like, okay,
fine.
Welcome to college.
Yeah.
Thanks, coach.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up on the other side, speaking of college, we dive into what the college football weekend was. Max Reddy, he's champing at the bit.
It's champing.
Yeah, we talked about that on Monday, too. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Liggett. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your own for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.